From the Firebird Radio Studio, it's the Authors on Fire podcast with nationally syndicated radio host and producer, Pat Rulo.
Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network, home of the Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards, Hall of Fame, our newest book song, where we create a unique, one-of-a-kind song just for your book, and this podcast, Authors on Fire. I am Pat Rulo. Today, it's a gift. My guest is Patricia Levy, and her recent Firebird Book Award winning book is titled Cowboy Eyes. She is a novelist, sociologist, and arts advocate, formerly an associate professor of sociology, founding director of gender studies, and chairperson of sociology and criminology at Stonehill College. She is widely considered the most visible proponent of arts-based research, which merges the arts and sciences. In 2016, Mogul, a global women's empowerment network, named her an influencer. And 2018, she was honored by the National Women's Hall of Fame and State of University of New York at New Paltz. They established the Patricia Levy Award for Arts and Social Justice. And in 2014, the London Arts-Based Research Center established the Patricia Levy Award for Arts-Based Research. We could spend a day on the bio, but I need to get involved here with this new book. She's one of my favorites. Welcome back to the Authors on Fire podcast, Patricia.
Thank you so much, Pat. It is always wonderful to hear your voice and your incredibly generous introduction.
It's all you, my friend. It's all you for sure. And once again, I say congratulations on the Firebird Book Award win.
Oh, thank you. You know, it really means a lot to me. I mean, you know, somebody asked me a while ago, they were like, you know, at a certain point, you know, I've been an author for over 25 years, so I've been doing this a long time. And they said, you know, does it matter to you, you know, if you get an award at this point? Each book is like its own thing. Each book is like your child. And so, yeah, I mean, to have any recognition for something you've labored on and that you love and is meaningful to you, for it to connect with any other people, is extremely meaningful, and I never take it for granted. So thank you so much.
Oh, you know what? You're absolutely right. And each book is its own person. And it's not a given that that book is going to be well received. I mean, chances are that it will, because you wrote it. But
Though? Honestly, Pat, with over 50 books, I can tell you it's like always a roller coaster. And, you know, there are highs and lows. And there are some things over the years that I've written that I'm incredibly proud of, that either, you know, it wasn't the right time or the right publisher, or it just didn't resonate with readers, or because of other books that were out at that moment, it didn't get its moment in the sun, whatever it might be. And then there are some books that you just get incredibly lucky and it seems like the stars align. But I know in those moments, there are other authors out there that have probably written something really beautiful and special too. And for whatever reason, it's not getting its moment in the sun. So, you know, I never take it for granted. And I'm very, very appreciative when anything is recognized. It's a privilege to be able to make art. And when you have people on top of that recognize it and say positive things, it's just an incredible blessing.
No, oh, you are so humble, and that adds to your beauty, my friend.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, I mean that. So this particular book, Cowboy Eyes, I've heard you say that this book was very close to your heart. I know all of them are, but I believe that this one involved the loss of a dear friend. Maybe give us a little backstory.
Yes, I have to tell you the story of this book. And I will also tell you, Pat, that this is the only podcast I've done for this book. I had actually decided not to do any radio or podcast because it's a difficult book to talk about. And I was very lucky that I actually had invitations from other folks to talk about it. And I just declined, which I never do. I always say yes to opportunities. But after this book won the Firebird Book Awards, and I knew I would be speaking with you, and we've spoken so many times over the years and had such wonderful conversations, I decided that this would be the one podcast I would do. So this is my one time talking out loud, really, about this book. So the story behind the book is that A year ago, August, I was on vacation in Sweden with my husband, and he went to a restroom. We were at a restaurant, and I opened my phone just to scroll on Facebook. And I found out that one of my dearest, closest, most important friends of over 35 years had died unexpectedly. And it was his name was Joey, and it was just absolutely shocking. I mean, we had, texted weeks before, and it was shocking. I had to go outside just to like breathe fresh air. I felt like I couldn't breathe. And I'll tell you, over a year later, it is still shocking. I've lost many, many people in my life, but this is the one that I don't know. It's very hard to process and accept. There was like no notice. And he's just a person who was always in my life and was important to me, and I thought he would always be in my life. So I have always turned to creativity. That is my way of dealing with things, difficult things in life, processing things. And I really wanted to do something to honor him. So Cowboy Eyes is dedicated to Joey. And really, my thought about the book is that he wasn't able to be the hero of his own story the way he wanted to be. So I wanted to make him the hero in my story. And the book is about it's about first love and Hollywood and the pursuit of big, messy dreams and figuring out who you are along the way. And it follows a story of Cassie James and Colt Thatcher. They meet when they have both, they're both basically, they're at this country club. Cassie is 17 years old and she has crashed a debutante ball at a country club in Houston. She wants to see how the other half live. And she's about to get caught and she runs outside and she sees Colt. He's a valet, he's 19 years old, and he hides her. And they end up spending this like unforgettable several hours on the golf course at the country club, just bonding and sharing their dreams. And they both have big dreams for what they want. And that first chapter was inspired by a night that Joey and I spent as teenagers walking from town to town in the middle of the night, talking about our dreams. And ultimately, some of my dreams came true, and I don't think his came true in life, so I wanted them to come true on the page. And that's the impetus of the book. It's one of these, it's very bittersweet. It's like I really feel like he is honored by this book, and I know that he would absolutely love that. He was always asking me to put him in my books. Of course, he was already there. All the people I love are already there. But he was always asking me to put him in the book. So I do feel like the book honors him and a very special time in my life and in our relationship. But of course, it's bittersweet because, I hold the book and I look at the book, and if he was here, the book wouldn't be, or it wouldn't be in the form it is.
Wow. Yeah, so special of you to do that, to honor him in this way. And that had to have been hard to write.
Yes. And I mean, I actually was already working on this book before he died, but it changed. It changed after he died, and it became this tribute to him. So it became a different thing. And in fact, I mean, I published this book under my own imprint. I published many of my novels with my longtime fiction publisher, She Writes Press. But I do own a small imprint where I publish some of my work as well as other authors. I published this one under my own imprint because I sort of wanted to control the whole thing, including the release. I released it in what would have been his birthday month. I surprise released it. I didn't do any promotion whatsoever. I just sort of dropped it into the world. And I wanted to do the cover myself. So I have to tell you, Pat, when I won the Firebird Book Award for fiction cover, it really, really meant a lot to me. That is not something I normally do. It's, there's usually a team of people who work on it, but I spent so much time on this book cover. I just had a very specific image. And it was inspired in part by the cover of The Great Gatsby, because that is a book that I read at the time when I met Joey. And I thought there were some similar themes in my book. And then, of course, on the book cover, there are these big blue eyes because Joey had the most incredible blue eyes of anybody I have ever met. And if you asked anybody who knew him to physically describe him, the first thing they'd say is those eyes. Like, nice. He just had incredible, incredible eyes. And he got away with a lot of things just like Colt because of those eyes. So I had a very, very clear vision for the cover of the book. And I know this is a long-winded answer to your question, but I have another piece of the story that I know you will appreciate.
Yes.
So at the end of 2024 and 2025 were like the hardest time in my adult life. The end of 2024, my mentor, Barry Schumann, who had been my high school English teacher and remained one of my closest friends throughout my adult life, died. Right before New Year's, basically. And that was extremely difficult for me. And then that February, my dog Daisy, who I had for 16 and a half years and who was my best friend and my soulmate, she died. And it was just like grief upon grief. And then in August, I find out scrolling on Facebook that Joey, one of my closest friends, died. So in an 8-month period, I lost three of the most important people in my entire life. But here is the amazing part, Pat. I did not realize it until Joey died that I met Mr. Schumann and Joey on the same day. I met them both on my first day of high school when I was 14 years old. And at the time, it was unremarkable because I didn't know either of them would become important to me. So it was not until they died 8 months apart and at completely different ages that I realized I actually met them on the same day. And so all of that is sort of intertwined in Cowboy Eyes too, including in the cover. I read The Great Gatsby in Mr. Schumann's class. So just the entire book became this sort of love letter to a certain moment in my life.
Joey was a classmate in the same school.
Yes, he was a year older than me. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't call him a classmate. He basically skipped classes every day. But yes, technically we were in high school together and that is how we met. And he was a serious boyfriend at different times. But mostly he was just one of my absolute closest friends and that never went away. And, the last conversation we had, which was not that long before he died, he ended that conversation saying, "You know, I love you, right?" And I said, "Yep, I love you too." And that was it. And, you know, almost every text that we had, you know, he'd always say friends forever. It was just this thing for over 35 years. So it was very, very shocking. And it's still a shocking. I can tell you, I've lost a lot of people in my life and I still haven't fully processed this, but that he and Mr. Schumann died 8 months apart is just, I don't even know how to get my head around that, but I do believe that people come into your life for a reason and somehow they both came to me on the same day and somehow they both left at the same time. And I don't know what all of that means, but I know that there is some meaning there. And so as an artist, I try to call that out in whatever way I can. And I turn to creativity and sometimes writing things come up that you don't even realize and themes emerge that you don't even realize will come up. So I definitely think that happened with Cowboy Eyes. And, you know, I mean, the book is fictional. The things in the book have not happened. The characters are fictional. But I have taken very real experiences and put them into this blender with imagination. Mm-hmm. And the story at the end of the day has messages that I think both Joey and Mr. Schumann taught me and would have left me with. And I did little things to honor him. So Colt in the book has a very thick Texas drawl and Joey had a very thick Boston accent. You take things from real life and you put it through this like fictional imaginarium and you see what you get.
I knew the cover was special. I didn't know you created the cover because I always comment on your covers because they're always outstanding. But this one did feel different to me, almost in a special magical way. It wasn't just a cover. I knew there was more behind it.
Oh, thank you so much. I mean, I love my book covers and I'm so grateful to the designers who have created them. But this was just something, it was like, I don't know, it was like baking cookies for someone you love or you want to do it yourself. And so I went through many, many pictures and images of Hollywood and thousands of pictures of blue eyes, literally, to find the right ones. And I went through different fonts to find the font, you know, when I was looking for fonts that were popular at certain times, like the font I chose is a 1980s style font because I was born in the 70s or I grew up in the 80s. And I just wanted everything to feel really authentic and special to me, even if nobody else ever felt that way. So the fact that anybody else would say anything and people have said lovely things as you have, is just the cherry on the sundae because I just wanted to hold the book and feel like, you know, I wrapped it in the right gift wrapping. And I feel really proud of it.
Well, you should, my friend. What a gift to both of them. And that was a rough time for you. Sometimes there's years where everything kind of piles up on you. And
so true. I mean, I have a very, very dear friend right now who's going through that. It's multiple big things all at once. And that was definitely, you know, my end of 2024 and all of 2025. And there were other things. Those were the losses, but there were other things, of course, because life is still continuing, but it was just sort of like, it felt like one bad thing after another. Yep. And it was rough and, you know, and it's one of the reasons that when things are rough, like I try and find a way to create something. So then down the line, I can tell other people who are going through a rough time, you know, you will survive, like you will survive this. And what can you make out of it? What can you learn from it? What can you create out of it? It doesn't have to be a book or a piece of art. It can be anything. It can be you plant a garden or you decide to take the trip to the place that you never got to see. Or you know, maybe it's just you get up every day and you take a walk in your neighborhood to try and appreciate nature, whatever it might be. But I think it's good to let people know that sometimes the things we create and even the things that get awards and are recognized actually came from something really difficult. And, you know, we had to kind of like claw our way every day to survive those difficult things. And I think that's a good message to give people, because I think that a lot of people, you know, suffer in silence, whatever it is, grief, depression, loss, disappointment, rejection, all kinds of things. But that's actually the stuff that connects us all. And if you can find something positive ultimately out of it that you can share with others, that always makes it easier.
Yes, thank you. That's an important message. And that might be the highlight message of today's conversation, really. You know, when these bad things happen, you do have a choice as to how you react to them. And creativity just allows you to let go and put it out there and see what it becomes.
Absolutely. And, you know, you don't even have to have a goal per se. You don't even have to, you know, and look, you know, sometimes like I can write a book very quickly. I mean, I've been doing this for over 25 years. So sometimes like things just come together. It wasn't like this in 2024 and 2025. Like everything was painstaking. I had to fight for like every sentence, every paragraph. You know, I produced less in that amount of time than in previous years, which, because I have a stockpile that's always waiting to be rolled out, people don't know that, but I know it. So it's okay. I mean, sometimes you create less, sometimes what you create isn't as good. And like I said, it might be, you know, you're making soup for yourself and that's what you're creating. You're creating healthy food or you're planting a garden or you're making art. And it doesn't have to be art that's, you know, going to be in an art gallery. It can be something that's therapeutic and joyful just for yourself. But I do find if we can find ways to create, I mean, basically, Pat, I think the world is like destruction and creation. Like those are the two things we have. And, you know, whether you life and death, destruction and creation, however you want to look at it, but like these are the primary forces that we as human beings contend with. And so I think, you know, when there is loss, if you can find a way for there to be some gain, that will help pull you through, and maybe that will help other people as well. Mm-hmm. And if that happens, that's really amazing.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for what you do. It's so important.
Thank you for what you do and creating this platform and honoring authors and readers, and, you know, and so many people don't get recognition for their work. So providing that opportunity, it's just wonderful.
Oh, thank you. I love that aspect of it, especially new debut authors that just feel so fragile. And when somebody recognizes their work, I've had so many people come back to me after the fact and say, you know, you were my first. And then they go on to win other awards and good things happen to them. And that just makes my life.
Well, I have to tell you, Pat, so Laurel Richardson, who is the author of Falling Into a Good Life, which it's a gorgeous memoir. I am biased. It was published under Paper Stars Press, my imprint. So I just want to say that. But I've been a fan of her work since the 90s. So she is a gorgeous, gorgeous writer. And she won a Firebird Book Award for Falling Into a Good Life. And she emailed me That day happened to be her 90th birthday, Pat. And on her 90th birthday, she woke up to the news that she had won this book award. And I just can't tell you how elated she was and how much it meant to her and to have that recognition. You know, the publishing industry discards women often after their 30s and 40s. Mm-hmm. Forget about 80s and 90s. So for her to be creating at this stage in her life, and for her work, which is so beautiful, to be recognized in this way. And then the joy of joys, the news happens to arrive on her birthday.
On her birthday.
So that is so special. And so, you know, you created that, Pat, without knowing the details of her or any other specific author. You created that. So thank you for what you do.
Oh, you're a sweetheart. It really means so much to me, all of it. Every person, you know, I call it Firebird Family of Friends, and that's not being corny or alliteration or anything. I mean that.
I know you do. I know you do. It's why you're the only person I'm talking to about this book. I you know, everybody feels the spirit with which you do this. And it's just a wonderful thing. And I think celebrating creativity, celebrating writing, celebrating reading, celebrating books, all of that, especially these days, when it's so difficult for authors and the publishing industry for so many different reasons, it's just a wonderful thing to be able to do. And, you know, I feel lucky to get to speak with you today.
I feel the same about you. There's just so much I want to talk about. I mean, your book explores so many ideas of like hustling to become somebody, trying to chase your dreams. And
yes, well, it's, you know, I mean, to me, it's like, so often we spend our lives chasing some version of success. So whatever we think that is, so some status like money or fame or professional reputation or followers on social media, but there's no there. All that stuff is a byproduct of doing the thing you love. It shouldn't be the reason to do it. And there's no stopping point. Like if you're somebody who's just chasing, you know, followers on Instagram, there's no stopping point. And there will always be someone who has more if you measure success in those ways. So I think it's really important to remember that it really is about the journey and getting to do the thing you want to do and having the courage to do it. You know, and dreaming big is wonderful. And I think people should dream big because I think disappointment's a lot easier than regret. And some people don't dream big enough because they are afraid of disappointment and rejection and critique and all of that kind of stuff. And as an artist, as an author, I completely understand that. Putting yourself and your work and your dreams out there in the world is really hard. There's so much critique and rejection, and it can be brutal sometimes. So it's brave to dream big and to go for it. And I think that courage is rewarded in life one way or another. And it's not always, you know, with an award or how many followers you have or money or fame, but from the act of doing the thing, having the courage to do the thing, create the thing, go for the thing that you care about, that in and of itself is the reward. And once you realize that, everything else becomes like a cherry on a sundae if it happens to come your way.
For sure. And I think that folks, after reading your book, will reflect and question their own dreams. And I think
Yeah. How wonderful would that be? And my hope is, people will always take away from any book whatever it is they take away, if they take something away. But I hope people remember to dream big, but I also hope people remember not to lose themselves along the way. You know, if you have to become someone else to get the thing you think you want, that's not the right path. Getting your dreams means becoming more of yourself, not less of yourself. And I really do think like the journey is the most important part. I mean, I can tell you, in all sincerity, in my career, the number one thing I am grateful for is getting up and writing every day. Mm-hmm. The thing I love the most is going into my story worlds and spending time in them with my characters. That is the thing I love. And everything else is, stuff that comes along with that. And some of that stuff is lovely and some of it less so. But the thing that I really love is the actual work, doing the thing that I enjoy and creating and contributing something to the world. And so I think, in a world that's sort of like ruled by, TikTok reels and Instagram likes and all of that, it's good to remember what really matters. And, the only real freedom is the freedom to be yourself. Mm-hmm. That's real freedom. It's not fame. It's not money. It's not status. It's not awards. Those things can be lovely, but they're really a byproduct. And if you don't get them, it doesn't take anything away from the experience of doing the thing you love. That is a blessing in this world. And, there are a lot of people around the world who do not have the ability to do the thing they love. There are people who live mm-hmm. with all kinds of severe, severe oppression, and they do not have what we would consider basic freedom. And so having the freedom to be yourself is something people should not give up, and they shouldn't give it up for any kind of superficial goal. So if you can create those opportunities for yourself, if you can carve them out and carve out space for you to become your fullest version of yourself, that's something to do. That is something to strive for.
Exactly. As we're speaking, I'm thinking about Joey. Now I have a name to put to those beautiful blue eyes. I wonder what would he, after he read this book, what would he say to you? What would he think? What would he be left with?
Okay, well, I will tell you something funny first, and then I'll tell you something sentimental. So when I published this book, I mean, I read it a million times. I edit everything a million times. It went to a professional copy editor. It went to a dozen advanced readers, like all my books. So it went through a team. Now, that being said, every book in the world has typos. You just won't find a book that doesn't. The average book published by the best publishers in the world have like a dozen typos. Mm. If you only have a couple, that's amazing. And self-published books tend to have more. It just is what it is. And it's because the human eye just misses certain things. You see what you think is there, not what is there. So even with a copy editor and even myself reading it dozens of times, I published the book. It's printed. The day before it's going to be released, I notice a typo on the first page, Pat, the first page. I mean, I cannot tell you how many times I've read this book. And like I said, I had a professional copy editor. I had a team of people on this book. And yeah, I know there's going to be a couple typos in every book, no matter what you do. But the first page.
Not on the first page, please.
Oh, my God. So I am absolutely convinced to the core of my soul that this was a message from Joey. Like, I think he did it somehow because he always teased me for being a brainiac. I mean, I was a good student. I went on and got my PhD. He was a terrible student. He never went to class. I think it's amazing he graduated high school. He always teased me and he called me a brainiac. And I think he had a great sense of humor. He loved to laugh. He was the life of the party. I think he never would have stopped laughing if he knew that I wrote a book for him and had a big honking typo on the first page. So, of course, just so you know, I went into the files of the book and corrected them. And, so like the people who pre-ordered the book probably got it with a big typo on the first page that they did or did not notice. Ultimately, the book was corrected. But I think that I think that he would have had a really good laugh about that. But on a more serious note, reading the book as a whole, I think that he would be amazed by how I remembered that night and how I thought of him. And I think and I hope that the way I thought of him and his wonderful spirit and the sort of like code that he lived by, I think it came through in the book and the character. I think he would love being the star of a book. That would just he'd tickle him. And I think that he would feel really honored by the spirit of the character and the story and obviously what he meant to me.
Oh, that makes me smile. I love that.
Thank you.
Yes. And I think we might wrap up with those thoughts and feelings about him. Anything else I missed? Is there any question that you would want to be asked about Cowboy Eyes?
No. This was a beautiful conversation and you covered it all. Thank you for allowing me to talk about my friend and what he meant to me. And, you know, I would just tell any artist or writer out there, if you're going through something difficult, you know, you can turn to creativity and you can honor people you've lost. You can honor lessons they've taught you. And to anyone who's just looking for, I hope, a fun escapist read. It's a love story. It's a quick read, but I think it has good messages about never forgetting who you are and following your big, messy dreams and finding the right people to go along with you on that journey.
Exactly. I have to comment. I was just taken aback. I'm like, oh, this is genius where you've got the valet stealing and reselling spare tires. I'm like, that's pretty smart.
Yes. He has a scam. So, you know, So they're, you know, when they meet at this country club in Houston. They're both scammers, like they're both con artists, basically. They're both hustling and they're well-intentioned people, but, you know, they're scraping to get where they want to go. And so, yeah, he has a scam. And I think Joey would like that, too. I don't know that he ever did anything like that. I mean, I wouldn't put it past him, but I don't know. But I think he'd get a good chuckle out of it.
Oh my gosh. He was a special human. I'm so happy to learn about him through you and your book.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. All right. I was going to ask what's next, but there's always something next with you and you've got a stockpile of what's next. So you've got a lot going on, I'm sure.
Yes. I have a novel called Sugar Sand Land that's actually coming out in less than 2 weeks that I'm very excited about and some other things I'm writing. So for the romance fans out there, there is more coming.
All right, my friend, as we begin to wrap up here, if you would share contact information, tell us also about your Paper Stars Press. So if folks are interested in that and then where to get copies of your book.
Thank you. People can go to paperstarspress.com to learn more about us. We're small indie. We call ourselves DIY with a helping experienced hand. We offer co-publishing agreements that you can read more about. We're trying to keep our list very small, but we're always happy to talk to new authors. And if you're interested in me and any of my books, you can go to my website, patricialevy.com. That's Patricia Levy, LEAVY.com. And there's links to my social media, to my books and more.
All righty. So Patricia Levy and this book, special book, Cowboy Eyes. You can find more at paperstarspress.com, patricialevy.com. And you, my friend, I always say it, but you were just a gift. And this book is such a gift. Thank you for honoring me and us with this interview. Since you're not doing any, I consider that so special and such a gift. So thank you.
Well, you are very special and you are a gift for authors. So thank you so much for this conversation.